I've been thinking a lot about my own human tendency to sometimes catch myself focused on what the payoff will be if I undertake some sort of effort, or looking at what the end game will be in terms of meeting people, with working with people in, you know, family relationships, friendships, and understanding that once I realized years ago that this is a natural human tendency. We tend sometimes to make subconscious calculations about, you know, if I do this, you know, what is, you know, what's the end game? Why, before I do something, I need, you know, there's that whole belief of needing to know before we do something, before we expend our time or our energy, you know, what the payoff is going to be. You know, and this is all about the belief of trying to, you know, maximize our productivity. Where, you know, there's a very innate sense that we have of making sure the efforts that we're making are in the right area, that we're doing things a certain way, so that we find the payoff, or hopefully find the payoff that we're looking for. And I know that this tends to be something that is a kind of what I refer to as a business mindset. And I totally understand why businesses and people who work for businesses have to think this way, and how to how this affects their decisions that they make about what to do and not do. And what I have found is that it can be very, very easy for this type of thinking to creep into my personal life, so to speak. I can find it very easy, if I am not aware of what my mind is doing, that I will be basically doing what I call kind of keeping a ledger or keeping a set of accounting books in my head about people that I interact with in my personal life. And it's taken me a while to realize that I can't necessarily, or I guess what I would say is, the more that I try not to look at things this way in my personal life, that hasn't really helped either. In other words, if I get so busy trying not to think this way, trying not to have an end game, trying not to have an agenda with people, and just genuinely being who I am in each moment, not who I think I am, but just letting myself be who I actually am without trying to be a certain way, that I find that the more I just allow myself to do that, and the more I'm mindful of whether or not I am doing that, that has been what has really allowed me, I believe, to really have, you know, to be more genuine in the, and be more in the moment with people without thinking about, well, if I do this or if I say this, you know, I'm thinking about if I do this or say this, what the outcome will be. And it really gets to the, you know, back to the point that I am making, that the more I'm finding that the more I consciously remember the importance of not trying to make things go a certain way, and the less I invest my time and energy in envisioning any sort of outcomes at all. And that's not to say that it doesn't happen once in a while, because it does. And it's only recently, when I have really slowed things down in my mind and started really paying attention to what is going on in my mind, you know, how am I talking to myself regarding my interactions with people in my life? You know, what is it that I'm thinking? You know, am I envisioning anything? Am I envisioning any sort of desired outcomes? And what I'm finding is that the more this becomes what I refer to as an inner exploration, instead of what I call, you know, what I refer to as a self-improvement program, where I'm just trying really hard to not think this way, and then all of a sudden I become the person that is trying not to have an agenda with people. So that becomes, you know, if I'm not careful, I just develop, that becomes my agenda. I have an agenda of not having an agenda with people. And so if that really is what is dominating my thinking and what's really dominating my conscious mind, then I'm trying so hard not to have an agenda and an end game with people that I'm not really being who I am in each moment as well. I'm sort of papering over or covering over parts of me that, you know, really allow me to be who I really am with people in the moment. And what I'm finding is that, you know, mindfulness practice and mindful coping practice, both of these have really helped me tremendously in order to be able to really be more genuine with people. And what I refer to is allow my Jeffness to come through and, you know, for people to really see who I am. So instead of trying to, you know, once I've identified that this is something that I do, I mean, in other words, what I'm talking about is, you know, the tendency to sometimes, you know, feel the urge to have an agenda. It doesn't mean I have to act on it. It doesn't mean I have to take it seriously. It's just that sometimes part of being a human being that we have evolved to make these, you know, very subconscious and very unconscious calculations. And a lot of it, I would have to think, has to do with survival. And it has to do with making sure that we are secure. And so I want to honor my humanness and just really accept the fact that, you know, as a human being, there can be a tendency to do this. So if I can relax and realize that my focus is really best to be, instead of trying to not do something, and trying not to be a certain person, or even trying to be a person that's trying so hard not to be a certain way, if that makes any sense, then I can, you know, really utilize my mindfulness practice. I can, you know, begin to really pay attention to my mind and really watch what it's doing. And when I interact with people, I find it, at least for me, to be incredibly interesting to watch the gyrations that my mind goes through when I meet new people, or when I find myself fascinated with someone, or when I find myself really liking what someone has to say, or really has a unique perspective, or even just their way of being, or when I meet someone who is involved in a certain endeavor and I feel like somehow there's some way that I want to be a part of that. And what I'm finding is that I just allow myself to be who I am. And when I say that, what I really mean is I'm not trying to be any certain way, and I'm not trying to not be a certain way. All I'm really doing is just letting myself be who I am, but I'm paying attention to my mind. And I know sometimes I've had people ask me before when they have begun meditation and mindfulness practice, you know, how, you know, if I'm so busy paying attention to what my mind is doing, you know, how am I going to be able to pay attention to what's going on in front of me? How can I do both? And really, that's where I find that you can't, I don't want to say you can't do both, but what I want to say is the best way to put yourself in a position to be able to do this without really having to think about it, and I know this sounds very simple, is that you just practice that. And so I think that is, if there is any reason at all for sitting still quietly by oneself or sitting quietly with others, paying attention to your mind and just noting what your mind is doing, you know, just the real essence of mindfulness practice, the more that we do that when we're in a place where we don't have to pay attention to anyone else, we don't have to interact with anyone else, we don't have to be, quote-unquote, on our feet, so to speak. We can just be. And the more that we do that, what I find is that that is really what feeds into and leads to our ability to be able to do this, to be more mindful when we are on, you know, mindful on our feet, when we are in the middle of life, when we are in the middle of the storm, when things are challenging. So if we can actually practice that when we're not having to really pay attention to something else other than what our minds are doing, we're in a much better position for that. And so what I'm finding is when I'm around people now, and I have identified certain situations in which I did catch myself in the act of having an agenda. And it wasn't, and that's, I guess the first thing I would say about this is that it's, you know, it's not an evil agenda. It's not that I'm a bad person. It's not that there's something wrong with me because I find myself suddenly, you know, with an end game in mind about how I want something to come out or something I want to be a part of where I think there might be something in it for me. And I know that sometimes it's very easy to judge ourselves very harshly or judge others who we see doing this. And I really leave that up to the individual. I can't say for sure what's right or wrong for anyone else. I just know, you know, at the end of the day, what's right or wrong for me. But I know what's most important for me is to just pay attention to the rising and falling of those urges or those inclinations, I would call them, to really, you know, to find ourselves having some sort of agenda, you know, and it may just very well be that, you know, there's something good that we would like to happen in our interactions with others, or there's some perceived benefit, or if they're involved in something that we want to be involved in, that we see that somehow we think there might be something good for us, you know, by being involved in something that someone else is doing. And I think what has helped me tremendously is to keep all of the focus on what my mind is doing and trying as much as possible. And it's also what I call trying without trying. I'm really not trying. What I'm really doing is just if I'm trying to do anything, it's just to stay out of my own way. It's just to actually not be afraid to be who I am. Not be afraid to make mistakes. And it's easier said than done, and I don't always do it. There are times when I clearly will find myself getting in my own way in a lot of different ways, but I find that this is one of those what I call classic ways in which I get in my own way, is that I get caught up in believing whatever it is I'm thinking about, the need to have an agenda or an end game, that I need to somehow keep a ledger book and record, you know, okay, if I do this, I've spent this much, and now what am I getting in return? It's almost like an invisible accounting book or a ledger where, you know, we're actually taking an accounting of what we have given and then looking at what we have received. And I also find, too, that it allows me to be less on the defensive. I don't necessarily need to protect myself anymore from worrying about, you know, is someone taking advantage of me? Because I find too that there are times when what's going on in my mind is that I am concerned about feeling like someone might have an agenda with me or that someone might have an end game with me. And those are things that can be tricky sometimes. And I know it's very easy to get caught up in trying to protect myself against that if I think that's what's happening. Whereas I feel like I'm much better served by just sitting with the feelings that I have about that. If those feelings are coming up that might be happening, that I really pay attention to my thoughts about that and really give myself some time to rationally and calmly think about these things. Inasmuch as thinking can help us, and I know thinking has its place. Sometimes, you know, thinking gets in the way. And more I've practiced mindfulness and mindful coping, I've learned to have a little more of an instinct and a little more of an idea of when thinking is just getting in my way, when the thinking does not really lead to anything positive or beneficial. If it's just part of me reacting to something that I think someone is doing or saying to me, then I know that it does not really help. So when I bring all this together, what I am really finding is that the human, you know, part of the human tendency will always, I would imagine, will always be, sometimes if we're not paying attention, we will have an agenda. We will find ourselves, you know, feeling the inclination or the urge or the desire to have an agenda, to have a certain end game, to start developing plans of some sort of what we can do to get things to be the way that we think that they need to be. And that if I can just be mindful and pay attention to when I'm doing that, then I can begin to question it and start to unpack all of those thoughts and reactions that I'm having to feelings that are coming up about that. And what's really nice about that is that whenever I am doing that, what I find is it naturally leads to, the more I am paying attention to my mind and being aware of what it is that I'm thinking in terms of any having any sort of agenda with people. And it may just be even just something as innocent as what I refer to as a conversational agenda. There may be something that I just really feel the need to talk about because I think it's interesting. And I may find that I'm speaking to someone who really isn't that interested in it. And I'm not really hurting them in any way. But what I'm really doing is I'm really not connecting with them. I'm not really having a genuine connection with them because I'm so busy talking about what's interesting to me. And so I've always found that for me, how I'm able to really connect with people in the most effective way, and if that is an agenda as well, I realize that. And there again, you know, it's like as you keep peeling back the layers of this, we want to connect with people. And I guess in a way you could say that could be an agenda as well. There could be, that could be an end game in and of itself. But, you can only take things to the furthest degree. You can only, peel things back to where there's nothing left anymore. And I know that if I really try to not have any agenda or end game, then I get to a point where I can't really reach out to people at all. It's as if, the need to connect with people is something that, could be considered an agenda or an end game. But I think that the way for me to approach that in the healthiest manner is to just let those things happen and just follow it and go where it leads. And just allow, anything that I can to actually allow people to feel more comfortable to be who they are. And what's nice about this is I don't have to do anything outwardly. There's no action that I really need to take. I don't really need to do anything to set the stage for that other than just allow myself to be who I am. And by paying attention to what's going on in my mind, I can actually stop the process. And it's not really so much that I'm actually stopping a process of developing an agenda or an end game. It's just that as soon as I catch that desire to do that, I basically can just sit with that feeling and not do anything about it. And eventually, like all feelings and like all thoughts about what we're feeling, it just tends to pass. And then we can just, another moment passes and we go into the next moment and the next one. And just really allow ourselves to be how we are. And if we are finding those inclinations or those desires to have an agenda, we just simply sit with them until they pass. And we don't necessarily have to act on them. We don't have to. And we can question those if we are finding ourselves really stuck and really finding the need to do that for some reason. That what I find is that once we're aware of it, if it doesn't go away on its own, then it's just really a matter of questioning it and looking more deeply into why I'm so attached, why I'm finding myself so attached to those thoughts about needing to have an agenda with people. And it really has freed me up to be able to just be human. And part of that being human is realizing that it's good for me to pay attention to my mind. Because as a human being, I'm going to have feelings that are going to come up. I'm going to have thoughts. I just don't have to take them seriously. I don't have to act on them and develop plans to do anything. I can just realize that they are what they are. They're just thoughts. And they don't define me. And at the end of the day, I'm not my thoughts. Those are really something that just happens. And at the end of the day, it doesn't have to define who I am. It's just a matter of paying attention. And then the coping aspect, really in this case, just kind of flows naturally from that. In other words, all I'm really trying to cope with in this case is my, in this case, in a lot of cases when we're talking about mindful coping, We're talking about things happening external to us. We're trying to cope with the things in life that are difficult and that we can't control. But in this case, it's really just me coping with my own reactions. You know, it's me coping with my own thoughts about any feelings that are coming up, about needing to have an agenda for someone else or for how I think things should go. And if I can cope with my own thoughts and what's happening in my own mind, what I find is that I can actually pay more attention to what's going on outside of my mind. That it feeds into me being able to be really more in tune with what's going on in front of me. If I can cope with the ramifications of my own thoughts, and especially when I'm taking those seriously, and especially when I'm believing those thoughts, and for, you know, especially when I'm forgetting that they are just thoughts and don't have to define me at all, and just let them rise and fall, let them come and go, and not, there's no need to stop them. In fact, stopping them would probably be near impossible, because we're human and we're just wired this way. And then I can just be who I am, and just each moment passes, and this process just repeats itself over and over again.